Hey, Adam Smolcomb here, lead pastor of Vive Church. Welcome to our podcast. I pray that God will speak to you through the message today and that a greater level of faith would be unlocked in your life. God bless.
Right now, in this atmosphere of faith, because we have a man of faith with us today. This is a heavyweight. Andrew Denton, he is a heavyweight in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, he might not carry the title pastor, but he is a man of faith. And we talked last week about not just lip service, but legwork. And let me tell you, Andrew has done the legwork of what has absolutely built Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia. He is one of their kingdom builders. He has done like a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to let him unpack, you know, venture stuff. He's, you know, senior project management. He has been in business for over 30 years. He is living what he is speaking today. And so can I encourage you, church, in every location, stand to your feet. Let's help welcome the man of God today. I want you to lean into the word of God. It's going to be powerful, changing your life. Amen?
How good's the band, huh? Good's the band. Awesome. So good to be with you guys today. So good to be across all the locations. San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, Rome. That's a pretty impressive Rome. And online. Very cool. Very cool. I obviously want to thank your pastor. Do you realize how great a pastor you have? As another Aussie here in America, you know, it's pretty good of us to give you some of our finest, isn't it? Now, seriously, you know, when we don't have many people in Australia. We need the good ones, you know? So you're blessed to have the pastor you have. You're seriously, seriously blessed. And so I really take it as a real privilege to be here speaking to Vive Church today. Can I pray for you? Father God, I thank you for the opportunity I have today to speak to your people. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak through me. And Lord, I pray that you and you alone are glorified in everything that's said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. I mean, it's impressive to me that here you are, only five years as a church, and you already got five campuses, and one of them international. It's incredible. You need to understand where you sit. Well, you may look at Hillsong today and you think, you know, they're so far out there, you know, what can we do? You know, today we're in 24 countries, 113 locations, 263 services this weekend, right? But can I tell you, the first 14 years we were one campus and we didn't own a building. I want you to understand, okay, I want you to understand all your campuses. You're so far ahead of where Hillsong was at this time, it's not funny. No, seriously, the potential in these rooms today for you is unbelievable. I want you to grasp hold of that. So what you're doing is already breaking records, smashing things across the globe. And so, you know, it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. I want to get practical with you today. Is that okay to be practical? As Pastor Kira says, I'm not a pastor, okay? So let's get that clear in the front, you know? I love pastors, I just don't want to be one, you know? I'm not on staff at Hillsong, and I'm not an itinerant speaker, although I travel all over the world, probably 80% of my time these days speaking across the globe. 99% of the time, though, I actually sit in the congregation like you. You know why? I'm you. I'm just you. The only reason I have a microphone here today is I know my purpose. I know who I am. My purpose is to finance the kingdom. I'm a kingdom builder. That's who I am. It's what I do. And so today, I'm hoping that you want to hear some practical stuff that you can use in your daily life, because that's what I want to hear. I want to hear practical stuff. You know? So this is what I believe. I believe we live here in a physical world. It's a physical world, but it's actually a spiritual battle, isn't it? It's a spiritual battle. Do you agree? And I believe the spiritual side of our life comes down to one word. Trust. And I believe the physical side of our life comes down to one word, discipline. And so today's message title is Trust and Discipline. Trust and Discipline. So I trust that you're taking your notes out. And I trust that you're going to write things down, because, you know, if you didn't write it down, it didn't happen. And so, you know, we need to write it down. I came a long way today, okay, guys, not to tickle your ears. I honestly believe that I'm here today in the timing of God. I honestly believe that there's people here today across all the campuses, especially in Rome, that need to hear what I've got to say today. So let's talk about our spiritual lives first, because I believe that that has to be our number one priority. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. Now, I know in different campuses today you had other people who were doing your offerings, but here, Palo Alto, we had Pastor Luke get up and steal my message. He talked from Matthew 6, verse 33. That's actually my favorite scripture. And that's the first scripture I want to read to you. What does it say? But seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness, and all, not some, not occasional, not a few of them, all these things will be added to you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Put first, but seek first. Second scripture, Romans 8, verse 28. How's it start? All. Once again, it doesn't say a few, not the occasional, not some. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes for you. These two verses alone tell me that when I love God, when I put him first in my life, that all will be good. It's pretty cool promises, aren't they? So why don't people do it? Why don't people do it? Well, I believe it's a trust issue. It's just a trust issue. They don't actually trust God's word. They don't actually really believe the promises in the Bible are for them. They can believe the promises for the professional Christians, the pastor, but they can't believe it for themselves. Wow. Here's one. You know what? They don't actually believe that Jesus defeated the devil on the cross. Wow. And so because of this, that lack of trust means that they're not truly putting God first. How can I make this statement with such confidence? Because that was me for 31 years. I've been a Christian my whole life. In fact, my father was a pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, which is the real reason why I'm not a pastor, okay? I'd read every promise there ever was in the Bible. I'd heard every sermon there ever was that talked about the trusting in God. I just didn't believe the promises were for me. I just didn't believe the promises were for me. I lived a life of fear and not faith. I was more fearful of what the devil might do to me than trusting Jesus defeated the devil on the cross. Some of you may be that way. Some of you may be living your life that way. I want to tell you today, you don't have to live your life that way. My wife and I finally came to that conclusion 22 years ago when Kingdom Builders started in Australia, that we were either going to trust God or not. We're either going to believe God's promises were for us or not. We're either going to take faith steps and not be paralyzed by fear. We're either all in or we're all out. Can I tell you, 22 years later, I'm more all in, if you can be more all in. You know why? Because I've seen God be faithful to me. But unfortunately, a huge percentage of Christians live fearful and not faithful. Fearful and not faithful. You know, you do know that fear and faith are exactly the same emotion. Do you know that? Just one's positive, one's negative. See, fear says, well, what if that happens tomorrow? Faith says, well, what if that happens tomorrow? Exactly the same words. Exactly the same words, just with a faithful attitude. A faithful attitude. Is it really that simple, I hear you ask? Yeah. It's actually that simple. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. Trust God. Believe in his word. And take faith steps. For too many Christians, for too long, they've been ripped off. I mean this, been ripped off because of their lack of trust. They love God. They go to heaven. But they live very ordinary, boring lives. Just getting by lives. And that's not what the Bible promises us, is it? That was me for the first 31 years. I lived a very boring life. I love God. I came to church every Sunday. I loved the praise and worship. Who wouldn't at Hillsong? I loved the praise and worship. I even liked the pastor's sermon. I didn't take notes. Why was I taking notes? I was doing my own thing Monday to Friday. You know? And so for my wife and I, 22 years ago, we decided to finally trust God. And our lives were dramatically changed. I mean dramatically changed. You know, previously I'd been a workaholic where I had a full-time job and I worked two other businesses and I worked from 6:30 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. I did that 6 days a week. Wasn't much time left for anything else. You know why? I was totally relying on me, not relying on God. And I was failing in my marriage. I was failing as a father. I was failing in my health. But when we decided to 100% trust God, not 85%, not 95%, 100% trust God, well, our lives changed forever. See, 22 years ago was when Hillsong Church launched Kingdom Builders. And so my wife and I, we said, yeah, we're in. We're going to do this. We're going to trust God. You know, we've been tithers our whole life. And, you know, I used to think that as a tither, I was a giver. But you need to understand, tithing is just bringing back to God what's already His. You know that? You actually haven't started to give yet. So if you think you're a giver because you tithe, Giving starts after tithing. Giving starts after tithing. And so, you know, for us, this was a first for us. And 22 years ago, for us, that first for us meant we wrote a $5,000 check. And I've got to tell you, it was the scariest thing I'd ever done in my life to that point. I'll never forget that check had my fingerprints on it because it was pretty stiff dropping it in the bucket, you know, for that first time. But I remember doing it and thinking, you know what, this is scary, but it's exciting because it was the first time I'd actually decided to trust God. What was really cool was for the first time in my 31 years, I was actually the closest I'd ever been to God in my life. Because, you know, when you're truly taking a faith step, when you're truly trusting God, it only takes you closer to Him. Only takes you closer to Him. And so that's what we decided to do. We decided to trust God. The next year, you know, we decided to do it again. And do it again. And so that very next year, I remember driving to church for our miracle offering and said to the kids in the car that day, hey guys, you know, Mum and Dad today, writing the biggest check of our lives. Last year we wrote a check for $5,000. This year we continued to trust God. God's blessed us. In fact, we're going to triple it. We're writing a $15,000 check. I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, this is just as scary as it was last year, just as exciting as it was last year. But I came to realize it was the same trust. It was the same amount of faith. The same faith that last year God allowed us to write a $5,000 check. Here we were just 1 year later, and we could write a $15,000 check. Can I tell you, 2 years later, we wrote an $80,000 check. 2 years after that, a $240,000 check. You can't tell me that we don't serve a trustworthy God, see? You can't tell me that. See, I'm not coming up here telling you theory. I'm not telling you, you know, I believe this, you get this scripture and maybe this may happen. I'm standing in front of you telling you this is the truth, guys. We just trusted God. And look what God did. It was amazing. But you know what it started? It started with the first one. Still to this day, the hardest check I've ever written in my life was the first one. That first 5,000. Because we had to take that first step to trust God. I'll never forget taking that first step. Because actually that was the first year that we built our first building, Hillsong. And I know you're thinking about where's your next building. Yours is coming real quick. But it's going to take people to take that next step. I remember being at the opening of our building. It was pretty exciting because, you know, we thought we'd build ourselves a stadium, but they call it the hub and the youth trasher these days. But it was awesome. We stood in a long queue to get in there and we got a seat in the nosebleed section. Because we were very excited to be there because we'd given our 5,000 to this building. Anyway, on the night, there was a prophecy. The prophecy was that Hillsong was going to see million-dollar gifts come into it. Well, you know, Aussies can get excited like you Americans do. It was a standing ovation and people clapped for a long time. And that was a long time because my wife and I had a conversation through it. I'm there clapping thinking, wow, man, some sucker's writing a $1 million check. That's unbelievable, you know. And my wife elbows me and she says, I hope that doesn't mean that some multimillionaire is going to get saved, is going to write that check. And I remember looking at her and saying, well, what's wrong with that, babe? That works, doesn't it, you know? And she said, yes, it does, but wouldn't it be better if it had been a couple who had trusted God? who had taken the faith steps, who'd stretched and God had blessed them and they wrote that check. I'm still clapping like everybody else. And I said, sure, yeah, that'd be great. Then she elbows me a second time and she says, so why can't that be us? Why can't that be us? I'll tell you, she floored me that time. What do you mean, why can't that be us? We just wrote a check for $5,000. I can tell you so many reasons why that cannot be us. That's impossible. That's ridiculous. Don't even think about that. That's above and beyond we could ask, think, and imagine. Can I tell you, only 8 years later, when you're my age, 8 years goes real quick. Only 8 years later, with my brother and my business, we wrote the $1 million check. We wrote the $1 million check. Yeah. Well, glory to God. I can tell you now. Because here's the thing. It was exactly the same faith as writing the $5,000. It was still just trusting God. It was still just trusting God. You know, and we went from giving $5,000 in a year, which was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life, to only 8 years later, with exactly the same faith, exactly the same trust in God, giving $1 million. Ridiculous. As I say, you can't tell me we don't serve a trustworthy God. We serve a trustworthy God. Lord, I'm standing here today to tell you this. If God can do it for this big ugly Aussie, he can do it for anybody. Like seriously, I have no qualifications. I didn't finish school. It's got nothing to do with your intelligence. Thank you, Jesus. It's about trusting God. And you know, that same faith, that same trusting God, all it did was it grew in me. And finally, over 8 years of maturing, getting more wisdom, getting more godly confidence, he was able to trust us with the larger amounts. I don't know how to encourage you more to trust God than just to say, that's how my wife and I have chosen to live for the last 22 years. And we definitely don't live a very ordinary, boring life anymore. You know, the Bible tells me in Mark verse 10:30, this is what it says. It says, in fact, he says, we will receive 100 times, that's pretty good, 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land. I like getting 100 times land. I'm a land developer, so that works for me. Oh, along with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. I can tell you now, guys, it's certainly worth it. It's certainly worth it. So much so that, you know, I don't even know how to live anymore by my own understanding. By my own understanding. See, I've become that reliant on God that I need God to turn up every day, which is such a better way to live. Can I tell you, it's such a better way to live than relying on Andrew. Better to rely on God. Better rely on God. So can I encourage you as strong as I can that if you're not trusting God, then you're giving the devil opportunity to wreak havoc in your daily life. You're giving opportunity. I want to give you 3 practical steps in trusting God. Number one, if you can trust God, you can trust God if you know him. If you know him. Excuse me. You get to know God by reading the Bible every day. Develop a desire to know God through reading his word. Decide to become a student of God's word. You know, the more you have it in you, the easier it is for it to come out of you. The more you have it in you, the easier it is to come out of you. Number two, you can trust God if you're listening to him. If you're listening to him. Hope you're listening to me there in Rome at the moment and San Fran and Oakland, San Jose. You can trust God if you're listening to him. You know, in any relationship, it's a two-way street, isn't it? When it comes to communication. It's no different with God. You praying to God opens up that line of communication. You know, prayer in itself is a faith step, isn't it? It's a faith step. That we should have an expectation that God will speak to us. Amen. He'll speak to us in our times of prayer. We just sometimes have to be still long enough to hear the still small voice. Make the time to be still long enough to hear the still small voice. Too often we want to say our prayer and be out the door and gone. And we don't wait for God to speak to us. I'm going to encourage you. He wants to speak to you. Right. Number three, you can trust God if you believe God. By first getting to know God more and then listening better to the Holy Spirit, then the next step is to start to believe God. We have to begin to believe that all the promises of the Bible are for us. All of them, not some of them. You know, you're here today, maybe you can believe God for your salvation. Maybe you can believe God to find your spouse in life. Maybe even believe God to find your car park today. But you don't believe that God wants to bless you? Come on, are you asking the wrong question? Maybe the question is, can my God do all or not? I believe our God can do all. And so, you know, we've got to make that step to say, you know what, I'm going to trust you, God, and I'm going to believe you, God. So is it that simple? Yes. Didn't say it was easy, I said it was simple. The easy part really happens because it comes to my second point, discipline. No one likes that word, discipline, do they? Discipline. You know, if you're a parent here, you would have had to discipline your children, especially when they were young. Why? Because they were stupid. They didn't know that if they put their hand on the hot plate, it was going to burn them, you know. So you had to discipline them. But who disciplines us stupid adults? When we have to self-discipline. Otherwise, when we get disciplined, it's too late. It's too late. The family law court disciplines us when we're going through our divorce. You know, the policeman disciplines us when we've been doing something illegal. The tax man disciplines us when we haven't been paying our tax. The bank manager disciplines you when you haven't been paying your mortgage. It's too late. We have to do the discipline, the practical side of our life. You see, I can make a very general statement and say something like this. We all know what we need to do, we just don't do it. Let me say that again so you can write that one down. We all know what we need to do, we just don't do it. Like we all know, don't we? We need to eat less and exercise more. But do we do it, you know? I love to eat and I hate to exercise. I'm no different to you. No different to you. We all know we should spend less than we earn. But credit card debt across America and Australia for that point is off the Richter. As Christians, we all know what we need to do, don't we? We all know we need to read our Bible every day. We all know we need to pray. We all know we need to bring our tithe. We all know we need to serve. We all know what we need to do. But how many actually do it? Unfortunately, a very small percentage of Christians actually do what they know they need to do. And I believe the main reason it comes down to is they lack discipline. Let's get back to the eating less and exercising more. So that's a hard one for me. See, the real reason is people lack a discipline in the area is because they lack a why. See, why should I? If they don't believe there's going to be a perceived benefit from doing this, they're finding the discipline to change their lifestyles hard. The why has to be big enough to apply the discipline. I know for me personally, finding my why 22 years ago, for me finding that my purpose in life was to find us the kingdom and that my pastor's vision was so huge, that provided me with the why in my life. Okay, to apply the disciplines that I've needed in my life. Your pastors here, Pastor Adam and Pastor Kira, guess what? They got a big vision. They got a very big vision. And that should provide you enough of a why for you to put that discipline in your life so you can live a blessed, prosperous life in all areas. And then as that just comes, just as a default, you become a kingdom builder to sow into this church, the Church of Vive. So, number one, when it comes to trusting God and getting to know Him better, I have to be disciplined in my Bible reading. You have to be, guys. You have to be. Can I ask you, do you follow a reading plan or you just randomly pick up your Bible and read where it opens? Can I encourage you? Get a reading plan. Get a reading plan. We're here in the tech city of America. You know, if your phone today will tell you when you need to read your Bible. You can set that up. There's so many plans that there for you to read. Get a reading plan. Make it easy on yourself to actually pick up the Bible and start reading. But what I do know this, see, if you're living a life that requires God to turn up, then what used to be a have to becomes a want to, becomes a need to. See, I need to read my Bible every day because I'm expecting God to speak to me from it. Okay? Because so in the end, that's why you have to make the decision to actually read your Bible. You have to have the self-discipline to actually read His Word. But because you have a big enough why. that you do that. Let's number two, let's talk about the discipline required in our prayer life and getting to listen and hear from God. Can I ask you this? Is prayer the first thing you do or is it the last thing you do? Wow. Say that again. Is prayer the first thing you do or is it the last thing you do? I'm in business with my youngest brother, and when we're working together, the first thing we do in the morning is pray. The first thing. And we pray something like this for the day ahead. God, we pray God's will for our business. We ask Him to guide us today in everything we do. We ask God to help us make wise choices today in our business. And we always finish by asking for favor with man, unfair advantage in Jesus' name. Wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous. Why not? I'm in business to make a big profit. Why? Because I've got lots to do for the kingdom. So, you know, I live a very busy life, but priority for me is to pray first. See, not at the end of the day. At the end of the day, we're anxious and worried about all the stuff that's happened during the day. Because our prayers then become, God, I need a miracle to help me get out of the mess today. Rather than I'm praying different mindset altogether. I'm just praying for your will, God. Here's one for you guys. How many married people are here this morning? Hands up and all the camp. Yep, lots of married people here. Awesome. How about making a decision to pray with a spouse every day? Come on, you know you should. You're just not doing it. All I know is that, you know, when you decide that you're going to trust God, when you decide you're going to take a faith step, when you step out like that, wow, that's the devil's not happy about that. Whether you like it or not, you just put a target on your back. Because see, the devil, he doesn't like it when you pray together as husband and wife. And he's going to do whatever he can to bring division, not one vision. He doesn't want to see you unified. He wants to see you in disunity. And all I know is that the Bible says that one man, he can put 1,000 to flight. The two of you, 10,000. The three of you, with God in the mix, you're an unstoppable force. Unstoppable force. Remember, God invented marriage. He knows how important that is. And so we need to make that disciplined decision to pray together every day. My wife's on the other side of the world in a different time zone, but I'll tell you now, I never miss praying with her every day. I need to pray with my wife every day. And we pray a prayer, something along these lines. God, we just want your will for our family, for our marriage. We just want you to guide us today in everything we do with our family and our marriage. And I just want, but God, give me wisdom to make the right choices in what I do with my family and my marriage. But Father, I'm praying we're going to see favor to every part of my family and in my marriage. One thing I know is that we have to all get better at hearing from God, don't we? Here's what I know, men. We're one-dimensional animals, aren't we? We can do one thing very well at one point in time. So for us to hear from the Holy Spirit, we've got to really concentrate. You ladies, you can do 4 or 5 things at once. Someone yelled out the other day to me, 7 or 8. You just hear from the Holy Spirit much better than us men. Here's the thing, men. When you get to pray with your wife every day, some of that rubs off. Some of that rubs off. And so you get to hear from the Holy Spirit clearer and help you make wiser choices in every single facet of your life. If you hear nothing from me today, do that. Pray with your wife today. Husbands, make that decision. Lastly, what about the discipline required to believe God's promises for in our lives? This is the hardest thing for people to grasp, that God's promises are for them too. The discipline required to take the faith step, to stand on God's word. I think this is the point. It's a daily choice. It's a daily choice. That's the thing with discipline. You can't make a statement like, ta-da, today I got discipline. Tomorrow you've got to get it again, and you've got to get it again the day after, and the day after, and the day after. It's just a daily choice that I'm going to trust God. Here I am today standing in front of you at 53. I still have to make a choice daily to put the discipline in my life to trust God. Trust God. Can I finish with this? Life's just a series of choices. Just a series of choices. And we're either making wise choices or stupid choices. There's actually no middle ground choice. Our choices are taking us forward or they're taking us backwards. And so Simple mathematics tells me that if I make more wise choices than stupid choices in every area of my life, I will succeed. God knows that. Why do you think throughout the Bible he talks about in all you're getting, get wisdom? Wisdom's the principal thing. Wisdom's better than wealth, the Bible says. Wisdom's better than wealth. Why? God wants us to go after wisdom. Because he gave us a free will to make our own choices. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. God built you not as a robot, but as with a free will. Because he realizes that to have a relationship with you, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. And so, unfortunately, a large part of our population has chosen to reject God. I'm hoping you've chosen to accept God. I'm hoping you're excited to have that relationship with him, to say, I can trust you, God. So how do I get wisdom in my life? See, I used to think that wisdom was intelligence, and I thought I'm screwed because I'm not very smart. Thank you, Jesus, it's got nothing to do with intelligence. It's application. It's application. I have a saying, I say, discipline is the key that turns knowledge into wisdom. See, today I've given you my wisdom. It's my wisdom because I've applied it in my life. To you, what you're writing down in your notes there is just knowledge until you apply it. Until you apply it. Men, I can tell you now that it's a wise thing to do to pray with your wife every day. But until you apply the discipline in your life to actually make it happen, it's not going to become wisdom in your life. We need that wisdom. You know, we're here at Vive today, we're looking for people who've decided to trust God, to take a faith step, put that discipline in their life. Your pastors, Pastor Adam and Pastor Kira, they need this group of people to say, you know what, we believe in the vision of Vive Church. We've got your back, count us in. Count us in. Can I ask us if we could all stand across the campus, all the campuses tonight, today, if we could? I want to ask you a question. Those who are watching the other campuses too, those even are watching online. I'm going to ask a question. You know, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up if this pertains to you. Who here believes that they need to have a greater trusting in God? And like me to pray for you today. Need a greater trusting in God. Awesome. That's fantastic. I'm not even going to ask who of you need more discipline because we all do. Can I pray for that? Father God, I thank you for the honest people here today that realize they need to trust you more, Father. They need to take that faith step. They need to get that belief, Lord, that your will for them, Father, is above and beyond. They can ask, think, and imagine, Lord. Lord, you've promised to guide their paths, Father. Help them, Lord, to just hear from you, to be guided by you in every single thing they do, Father. And Lord, pray, give them the wisdom, Lord, they need to make the choices. But give them favor in their lives, Father. Favor with man, Lord, is going to blow their socks off. I thank you for their hearts here, Father. Help them, Father, make trusting and discipline a part of everything they do. We thank you now in Jesus' name.
Hey, I hope you were blessed by that message. We release new content every single week here at Vive Church. And so if you don't want to miss any of it, I would encourage you, go ahead and subscribe. Also visit our website, vivechurch.org, to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the life of Vive Church. God bless you.